quail. I'm going to do my best to encourage you tonight, all right? Try to help you. Help us all. Every once in a while, listen, we need our hide skin once in a while, don't we? Amen? Amen. But we can't get our hide skinned every service, amen? Right. We've got to have some salve once in a while, amen? Amen. I pity some of these people that goes to these churches and the preachers, man, he just lays them out and fleeces the sheep every week. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Amen? I think some of them misspelt that and got fleece out of it. Amen? Amen? I don't like to go around bleeding all the time. Amen? Brother Steve, every once in a while we need to go out to the woodshed. But amen? I hope it ain't every day. All right? Y'all all right? Yeah. Amen. We need some encouragement once in a while as well. Hebrews chapter number 12. Brother Dwight, you like to bleed every day? You do? Brother Adrian over here thinks you do as many times you hit your hammer finger with that hammer. Amen. Wow. Hey, pray for us, Lord. Help us. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. Amen. Hebrews 12. Everybody got your place. Deacons, y'all found it. Brother Benny, y'all got it. Hebrews 12. You got it, Brother Robin? Amen. Brother Jerry, you got it? All right. If the deacons got there, we'll be all right. Brother Joe, you got it? All right. Hebrews chapter 12. Here we go. Let me get it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd touch us tonight. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for these people that you've brought here tonight. And I pray you'd help us through your word and by your spirit. Encourage us and help us, Lord, to go out of here walking closer to you and encourage to walk even closer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Many years ago, in a Monday night football game, the Chicago Bears were playing the New York Giants. One of the commentators was going through some of his announcing, and he made the comment of how the Bears running back, Mr. Walter Payton. How many members Walter Payton? He talked about Walter Payton, and he made the a note that in Walter Payton's career, he had accumulated running over 9 miles worth of yardage. While they were astonished and talking about that, the other announcer remarked, said, yeah, and that's with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. Truth of the matter is, you know, if you know anything about football at all, and I know some of you ladies could care less about football, but a running back don't run just 100 yards and stop. He most of the time gets knocked down. And Walter Payton, one of the NFL greats, he got knocked down on an average of every 4.6 yards, but he ran over 9 miles. Listen, you say what happened? I'll say what happened. He kept getting back up. He got knocked down, he got tackled, he got thrown around. Listen, he got dirty. He probably got muddy. He probably even got bloody at times. Hey, but after 4.6 yards, he'd get back up. He'd go to the huddle. He'd go back over and get in his stance. And when they'd hike the ball, he'd run the ball again because his job was to be a running back.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You're going to get knocked down in life in the Christian walk, in this Christian race. You're liable to get muddy. You're liable to get dirty, amen? And every once in a while, you're liable to get bloody.
Amen.
Amen. But I tell you what, it ain't time to quit.
Right.
I seen some Little League playing one time. I didn't tell you who it was. Y'all laugh. I seen some Little League boys playing ball one time, and a boy went out there and he got hit. As soon as he got hit, he walked off field. He said, I ain't doing this no more. They said, why? He said, somebody's going to get hurt. Amen. You reckon he might have thought it was him, amen? Somebody's going to get hurt. Let me say something. In life, you might get hurt. And I hate to tell you this, but in the church and in the Christian walk, you might get hurt. It might be from the foes without. It may be from your friends within. You're liable to face some friendly fire is what we call it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying the potential lies there, and the potential is very likely. Are you listening? But every time we get hurt, every time we get discouraged, every time somebody doesn't do something we wanted them to do, every time something doesn't go our way, it's not time to pack your bags and go home.
Right.
I was a kid. I used to hate that kid. I don't know who he was, but it seemed like every time we'd pick up, we'd go out in the yard and go out there, and there's a bunch of, in the neighborhood, there was a bunch of houses around, and we'd go out there and we'd pick up, we'd play ball. We're going to play ball, all right? And I don't care if it was kickball or softball, baseball, football, or baseball. I don't care what ball it was, even basketball. It seemed like there was always one that when it didn't go his way, he'd say, I'm going home. And the little brat just happened to be the one that had the ball that he brought from his house. And he'd take his ball and he'd go home. Can I get a witness? I used to hate that dude. I think we ought to play, well, we can't call it what I used to call it. Tackle him and everybody jump on top, all right? Y'all figure out what we called it, all right? But anyhow, I just didn't like no quitter, all right? I never liked a quitter. Are y'all all right? And I remember one night when I was driving a race car, got in a wreck. I remember several nights I got in a wreck, amen? But I remember one particular night we got in a wreck, tore that car out, tore the front end out from underneath the car, amen? If y'all know what a tie rod is, and a tie rod, and the bottom A-arm, if you will, it was just ripped apart. And they said, there ain't no bolt. The bolt's gone, or the nut's gone off the bolt. The bolt's broke. I said, put the bolt down through the tie rod and through the bottom A-arm and duct tape it. Y'all think I'm crazy. I did it, buddy. Hey, you know why? Because I'm crazy. No, because I don't believe in quitting.
Right.
I don't like quitting. It's a wonder I didn't kill myself that night and somebody else and everybody in the grandstand. But I'm going to tell you, they stuck the bolt down through the hole and they put the tie rod on there somehow or another and duct taped that thing somehow or another. We went out and run the race.
Amen.
You know why? Because we wasn't quitting.
Right.
Amen. I just want to say in the church house, we need some people that'll say we ain't quit. Amen. They might not sing my favorite song. The carpet might not be my favorite color. Hey, they might do something in there I don't like, but I'm not quitting every time something don't go my wrong. Can I say to you, unless you make up your mind you ain't going to quit, you're going to. There's a lot of people that when something don't go their wrong, they already got it in my mind. Well, if it don't go my way, well, I'll just take my ball and go home. And guess what they're going to do all their life? They're going to take their ball and go home. Everywhere they go, something ain't going to go your way. And so you might as well just hunker down and listen. Unless the church gets off on some kind of doctrinal heresy somewhere or another, you might as well just make up your mind. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Ain't nobody going to run us out. Ain't nobody going to push us out. Ain't nobody going to beat us out. We are here, amen. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying, hey, listen, what I'm simply saying is we need some people that will keep on running.
Glory.
In this race of life, we need some people that will keep running. In the race that we run in this Christian life, I'm simply saying we need some determination. We need some, can I say it like in my country vernacular, we need some Christians with some grit in their crawl.
Right.
Y'all know what that means? Grit in your crawl.
Amen.
Amen. That means don't quit, man. Get tough. When the tough get going tough. Amen.
Right.
Hey, I'm simply saying there's too many quitters around here. I hate quitters. Yeah, man. I'm not trying to say I hate you, so don't be a quitter, all right? And I won't hate you. But I don't like quitting, amen. A quitting attitude is a quitter, amen. I don't like it. We used to say when I was a kid, quitters never win and winners never quit. So I told them when I was in high school, we never lost a game. We just ran out of time. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. If you know my high school record, you know what I was talking about. We ran out a lot of time. Keep on running. I got to get into this. As believers, we all have a race to run. And that's what the Bible's teaching us here in Hebrews chapter number 12, comparing the Christian walk or the Christian life to a race. We all have a race to run. Can I say, this is a race that's a personal race. It's a race that belongs to me. I've got a race. You've got a race. I can't run your race. You can't run my race. It's a race that is your race. It's a race that's particular. He said, let us run the race. The race. Are you listening to me? It's a particular race. It's a persistent race. He said, let us run with patience. It takes some persistence to run this race. Listen, it's not a sprint. It's a race of endurance.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of people. You've seen them in the. They start out and they say, "Man, I'm gonna live for God." They say, "I'm gonna come down here and I'm gonna join the church." And they start out, man. And they're like a bottle rocket, man. They take off and they're splashing. But about that time, y'all ever watch a bottle rocket when it gets about 50 feet in the air or so, it fizzles out and it falls. You never see it again. Are you listening to me? The Christian life is not a life that's designed to be a sprint. It's not. Listen, it's not a firecracker.
Right.
It's a life. It's a race of endurance.
Right.
It's a race that's planned. It's the Bible said it's a race that's set before us. God has designated. God has ordained a particular path for you. You've got a path that God has for you to run. He wants you to run your race. He wants me to run my race. He don't want me over in your lane. If you can get the idea, if you can get a picture of the around the track where they run the races in high schools and different, you know, in college athletes, they run those races. You watch them. They've got lanes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They got lanes. Listen, you are assigned a lane. This runner runs in lane one. This runner in lane two, lane three, lane four, lane five, and such and such and such. That's your lane. You run in that lane. You stay in that lane. God's got a lane for you. He's got a race that is set before you. He's planned it out for you, and he wants you. It's his will that you run in your race. And so the writer of Hebrews here, he encourages us to keep running the race that is set before us. And can I say, by way of introduction, he asks us and he encourages us. He doesn't ask us. He tells us to keep running in spite, number one, in spite of contradiction. He talks about the contradiction that Christ suffered. That word contradiction has this idea of strife and people that come against you. Sometimes you're going to have to keep running in spite of contradiction. You are going to face resistance. You are going to face people who come against you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Listen, don't be down on yourself and think, "Oh, I've done something wrong," when you face resistance. No, you are going to face some resistance. I'm reminded of somebody coming to a preacher one night, and she said, "Preacher, you're always talking about the devil's coming against you. The devil's bothering you." She said, "Preacher, the devil never bothers me." He said, "Ma'am, it might be because y'all on the same side."
Right.
Amen? Hey, listen, if you are on the winning side, Satan is going to bring some opposition your way.
Right.
Listen, keep running in spite of contradiction. And then in verses 5 through 11, keep running in spite of correction. There are times when God takes us out to the woodshed.
Right.
He said, "Every son he loveth, he chasteneth."
Right.
He said, "Every son." He's talking about those that, hey, listen, that have do not have any, they have no partake, and they do not partake of any chastening. He said, "If you be without chastisement, wherever you are all partakers," he said, "then your bastards are not sons." And that's not a bad word, boys. That what that means is, he said, you're not a son of God. You're fatherless, is what he's saying. You don't blow it. So in the Christian walk, when we get out of line, God has a way of chastening us and disciplining us and correcting us. And he said, "When I've got to discipline you, it's not time to quit."
Right.
A lot of times people, when they undergo chastening, that's when they run and they quit. It's not time to quit. It's time to grow. It's time to learn. Hey, listen, in verse 12 and 13, hey, keep running in spite of crippling. You say what he said? In verse 12 and 13, he says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Get your idea. Get the picture in your mind of a runner who's running and he's done got tired. And now his hands are hanging down. Where he started the race when he's running, y'all watch them form racers, they run with their hands up here. But man, if you'd have watched me when I was in high school, when we ran them mile and a half and 2 miles, after about the second lap, I was down there like this. Now, I never quit. I might have drug my feet a little bit. I might have drug my hands. And this is what he's saying in verse 12 and 13. He said, "Lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees." And he said, "And make straight paths for your feet." He's talking about straight paths. Hey, don't go wobbly. He said, "Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed." So he said, "Hey, make straight paths. Keep running in spite, listen, of the crippling." I'm talking about when you get tired is what he's talking about. Hey, when you get wore out, when you're just fatigued and you're facing exhaustion. Hey, listen, and you can't seem like you can't go on. He said, "Lift up your hands. Keep going. Keep running on." Kids, y'all go ahead and sit down and get quiet. Have a seat. Keep going is what he said. Keep going. in spite of the fatigue, in spite of the exhaustion, in spite of the tiring ways and the mental fatigue and the emotional fatigue. Hey, keep going, Christian, keep going. And then he said, keep going in spite of the corruption. In spite of corruption, in verse 14 through 17, he talked about, he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So here he's talking about some things that can get in us, but he said, listen, we're to follow after holiness. He's speaking of things that can get in and defile. He's speaking of corruption. He's teaching us to keep running the race. So I want to look tonight, I want to say this, no matter what the circumstances of life that we face, no matter what the devil throws against us, no matter what opposition we face, we can, by the grace of God, keep running on. But Robbie, we can keep running on, amen. When it seems like all hell has been unleashed against us, when it seems like I'm facing every fiery dart of Satan, it seems like, listen, that everything in the world is coming against me. Hey, child of God, lift up your head. Look unto the hills from which cometh the help. Hey, I'm telling you, by the grace of God, and with His help, and with His strength, and with His power, we can keep running on.
Amen.
We can. We don't have to quit. We don't have to. Listen, we talked about it last week. We're on the winning side, amen.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors. We can keep running on. So I want you to look with me tonight. I want to consider three different things tonight that will encourage us to keep running on in this race we call the Christian life. I want you to look at three different things, and I'm going to say we can consider these. We can look at these and consider them, sit down and understand them, and they will encourage us to keep pressing on. Number one, I want you to consider our heroes. Our heroes. Listen, I'm not talking about Michael Jordan and John Elway and Tom Brady. Russell Wilson. That's not who I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about our heroes. He said in verse number one, wherefore seeing we also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, look in verse number one. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look here now. He's talking about, he said, a cloud of witnesses. We're compassed about. Now, in years gone by, there's been many great men of God, and I don't want to throw off on them, but they have given us the idea through their preaching that there's a great cloud of witnesses, and it's like they're in a grandstand watching us. And they've said, and they've preached, and they've taught us that everybody that's gone on before, that they're watching us. And they said, hey, keep going. Now, listen, that's a good idea and everything, but if they can see what I'm doing and they can encourage me that way, I'm afraid they'd have to see all the bad I was doing too. I'll give you a little different thought tonight on this idea of this cloud that has us compassed about. And I want to say this. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hey, listen, he has just got through writing Hebrews chapter number 11. We call it the roll call of faith or the hall of faith. If you go back to Hebrews chapter number 11, you'll find the definition of grace, of faith. You'll find, listen, not only that, but you'll find the exhibition of faith. You'll see faith being lived out in many saints' lives. You'll hear about people like Noah and Enoch. You'll hear about people like Abraham. You'll hear about Sarah. You'll hear about Isaac. You'll hear about Joshua. You'll hear about Moses. You'll hear about all these saints of the faith. You'll hear about how Joshua conquered Jericho. You'll hear about Jephthah and Samson and Gideon and Barak and David and Samuel and all those prophets. I mean, he's sitting there telling us in Hebrews chapter number 11, he has given us the historical account of how by faith and through faith they trusted God and they conquered and they accomplished and they achieved what God had for them. They received promises that God had for them. And they by faith, they lived and God met their need. God took care of them because they walked by faith and they trusted God.
Amen.
And he gets done talking about all of those heroes, if you will, what I call our heroes. When I think about heroes, a real hero, somebody like Moses, he's a man of God. Heroes, boys and girls, Daniel could be your hero. Joshua ought to be your hero. Are you listening to me? And listen, when we think about our heroes, we're looking back here in Hebrews chapter number 11 and we're seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's a great cloud of witnesses. in the Old Testament. I'm talking about those saints that have gone on before. He sat there and he wrote and he told about all these saints that have gone on before in chapter number 11. These saints of old, let me say this, they have ran their race. They have ran their race. They are encouraging us to keep going. When we consider our heroes, these saints that have gone on, we can be encouraged because they ran their race. We understand they lived by faith. God tells us that the just shall live by faith. He tells us we live by faith, not by sight. And we say, well, how can I do that? Well, if I look at Hebrews chapter number 11, there's evidence, there's good examples of how I can walk by faith and how I can live by faith. Come on, Hoss, you're going to help me preach. All right, hold real steady. And when I look at Hebrews chapter number 11, I see, listen, all the great encouragement and a great example that if they live by faith, I can live by faith. If they trusted God, I can trust God. They have run their race. Can I say this? They have died. They have gone on. Not only have they run their race, but they have received their reward. They've received their reward. God told them that if they trust him, he'd take care of them. He'd meet their need. He'd give them the promises. And guess what, Hoss? When they died, they received their reward. Amen. If they hadn't already received it. They ran the race. They received their reward. But listen, not only that, they are revealing God's reliability to you and I. When I look at Hebrews chapter number 11 and I see how God gave Noah the promise that if he built an ark, it was going to rain, God would save him and his house. And Noah trusted God, built an ark, even though he'd never seen it rain. Saved his life, saved his family. When I see how God promised Abram, if you get up and leave your father's home and you go out, he said, I'm going to give you a land you've never seen. And listen, he's talking about the land wherever you step, that's going to be yours. Where your foot plants, that's going to be yours. And I see how God promised it and how God provided. I see the great things God did in the men of God. I see how Moses wouldn't want to stay in Egypt, but he chose to trust God and he suffered the afflictions of this world. Listen, because he was not willing to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I see how all these men of God and these individuals, how they trusted God and they walked with God. And I see their lives. I see Gideon and I see Samson. Even Samson, who was a failure. You look at Samson and you say, yeah, but it cost him his life. But I will say this, he took out more in his death than he did in his life. Right. He got right with God. God provided him. Amen. Stand up, boss. You're getting heavy. Stand up. Here. You be real good. I'll let you sit down right here. They reveal to you and I the reliability of God. Amen. They trusted him. They walked by faith. And you can walk by faith. Are you listening? Yes. You can walk by faith. What is faith? Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is Abraham leaving even though he didn't know where he was going. Right. Faith is Noah building an ark even though he'd never seen rain. Faith is Joshua taking down there, walking around the city and not lifting a sword. Trusting that God's going to make the walls fall. Are you listening? You can just read Hebrews chapter number 11. You'll see how their faith reveals to you and I the reliability of God. As we look at their lives, we see that they trusted God. It ain't lived by faith. He took care of them. And can I say this? When they witness to us, it's not as if they're witnessing in the sense that they're watching us. It's that they're witnessing to us like a court, like in a court of law. They are a witness that says, hey, it can be done. Amen. Understand the sense that they're a great cloud of witnesses. When you go to court, you go down here to the court and they say, such and such happens, this and says this will happen. And they'll say, sir, do you have any witnesses? Do you have anybody that can verify your story, your account? Yeah, I got a witness over here. Let me see witness A, witness B. Can y'all stand up, witnesses? Y'all tell us what happened. Y'all are witnessing. And we use the term sometimes as a witness. Well, he's witnessing that. He's witnessing it as he's watching that. But the more strict sense and the more straight sense is that I am a witness of what happened because I saw it. In Hebrews chapter number 11, there's a great cloud of witnesses. And they're saying, hey, you can walk by faith. We've seen it happen. God worked in our life. God provided. God protected. God took care of us. He met our needs. God helped us when we trusted him. We did it. God did it for us. And you can do it too. They're a witness. Amen. They're a witness to us. We consider the saints our heroes. And I say we ought to consider our hindrances. He says there in that same verse, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Every weight. That fellow right there was a weight on my arm. Come here, Hoss. Come here. I need your help. If I'm going to run a race tonight, here, let go. I got you. I ain't going to drop you, I promise. If I'm going to run a race, if I'm going to say, Isaac, let's go on a foot race. Come on. Come on. Let's go on a race. Now, if I want to win, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, here, you hold him. See, I'm going to tell you why. I ain't going to give him to you. I probably let go of my jacket. Hurry up. Let go. You hurt me. Now, watch. I'm going to say, we're going to run a race. The writer says, as we see this great cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight. He laid him down here. You be good. I'm watching you. He said, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin, which is so easily beset us. A weight is a burden. A weight is something that's heavy. A weight is something that was going to drag me down. See, this is a weight or a sin that can bog us down. Because the picture he's given us in our mind is of a runner who is running and he wants to remove unnecessary weights, unnecessary baggage from his body to allow him to run more efficiently. If you watch the Olympics, or you watch any kind of running or race, when they go out there and race, I used to like to watch some of them guys. They go out there and run. I forget that guy's name, but he used to be fast, man. And old Ben somebody. And they'd get out there and run them races. You'd watch them. You watch them now. You watch the Olympics. It looks like they're wearing skin. I mean, for their clothes, they've developed clothing that weighs practically nothing. They've developed shoes that's almost paper thin. Has no weight to it. You know why? It's not because it's comfortable. Put them on, man. You can feel every stone on the ground. It's because they're light. It's because they're light. They want to get all the weight off of them that they can. When I want to run in a race, I'd like to have... Where's my wife? Who's got a pocketbook? Hurry up. I need a pocketbook. Somebody give me a pocketbook. Who's... Oh, I got the one with the money. Amen. If I can give you an idea here, am I allowed to reach in there? I don't want to embarrass anybody. Ain't got no chewing the bag or nothing in there. All right. So I'm going to run a race, and here I am. This ain't very heavy, thankfully. But if I'm walking through life and I want to lighten that thing up, what I want to do is I want to get in here, and it might not be a sin, but it might be a weight. I just want to lighten it up. Man, the world. So what I'm doing is I'm getting rid of things that I don't necessarily need. Listen, a weight is not necessarily a sin. Are you listening to me? A weight is not necessarily a sin. It's something that it may be actually not a sin, but it's just weighing me down.
Yep, that's right.
Are you listening to me? And there's things in the Christian life that I could do. You know, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. But Paul said, I'm not going to be brought under the power or the dominion of any. There's things in our life, boys. Hey, listen, I like football. I like football. But I'm going to tell you something. If I let football keep me out of church tonight, it's a weight that needs to be removed.
Right.
And I ain't throwing rocks at nobody. I'm talking about me personally because I love football. If I was to allow football to pull me out of church and to pull me away from my responsibilities, it'd be a weight. It'd be a weight that I need to get rid of.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Good.
That's just a simple illustration. There's simple things in my life. You may have some in your life. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight. So it leads me to think that there's probably more than one in our life, or the potential for more than one. Could be music. I don't know what it may be. Could be different things in your life. Could be sports. Could be recreations. Could be hobbies. They're not necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but when they take you away from your walk with God and they weigh you down, it's like it makes it harder for you to run that race. Maybe friends. Maybe some friends that you've got. They may not be sinful in and of themselves, but they may drag you down and pull you away from where you ought to be.
Good.
And I'm not just talking to the kids here. I'm talking to moms and daddies too.
Right.
There's been more than one person, adult, that was in a good church and got to hanging out with the wrong people. And those people didn't go to church or didn't go to the right kind of church. Well, they was critical kind of people, and they discouraged them, and then they wound up out of church. That was a way. So we've got potentials of weight. He said, let us lay aside every weight, those heavy things. You're going to have to have some discernment to realize what is the weight in your life. But listen, if we're going to look at our hindrances and consider our hindrances and run this race, it's going to take some discipline to run on. It's going to take some discipline to lay aside these weights. Listen, I've said it before, these weights are not necessarily bad. But it's going to take some discipline on your part and on my part to discern what is okay in my life and what is necessary in my life.
Right.
Help me now. There are some things in my life that would be okay, but they're not necessary. I don't need them. They're not helping me. And can I say, if they're not helping me in my walk, eventually they're going to hinder me. So I've got to discern, and I've got to be disciplined enough to say, hey, I don't need this in my life, even though it's not necessarily sinful, I'm not going to do it. It's going to take discipline. Let us lay aside every weight. The word lay aside means to cast it off, put it away, get rid of it. Every weight, that mass, that burden, that hindrance. And then he says, and the sin, which does so easily beset us. I was thinking about that the other week, riding down the road. And he didn't say the sin which does so hardly beset us or so difficultly beset us. Most of y'all, if y'all be honest with me, y'all like me, we live in the same kind of flesh. And y'all fight the same temptations I fight. Maybe they're wrapped a little different, but it's lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life. Lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life. Every temptation you face in life is going to be one of the three. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Every one of them. As we go through this Christian walk, we're fighting those temptations. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You mark it down, they'll fall in those three categories somewhere. And he said it's the sin that's so easily beset us. Now, I'm not going home with you tonight, but the devil, he's probably got an angel watching you, a fallen angel. We call him demon. He's got one watching you, and he knows what that sin is. He's probably done figured it out. He may wrap up that lure a little bit, but he knows. And listen, some of y'all tonight, you're probably sitting here, and you know what it is. You sitting here right now, you know what that sin is. There is a sin. He said every way more than one, but he said the sin. Now, I don't know what your besetting sin is, but according to the writer of Hebrews, we've all got one. And he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which does so easily. That's the scary part right there, does so easily. Somebody said, well, the devil made me do it. He didn't have to try too hard. He does so easily beset us. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some determination. Can I say this? To keep running on as we consider our hindrances, it's not only going to take discipline to run on, but it's going to take diligence to run on. He said there at the end of that verse, verse number one, he said, let us run with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The idea here of patience, it's the idea of a cheerful hope or an endurance, a constancy. Enduring some things. Being patient. Patient, continuous, or waiting. It's the word I hate. It's the word in the Greek. It's the hupomene. And it's the word that means to remain or to abide up under. You think about somebody who come here, Brother Isaac, come here. You think about somebody who's going through the Christian life and trials start coming their way. Temptations start coming their way. And as they get on him, they're weighing them down. It's like they're heavy on him. But he's saying you run with patience. You keep on bearing. You keep remaining. Hey, don't you cave in. Don't you quit. Just keep walking on. Keep pressing on. Hey, keep running with patience, with endurance is the idea. Amen. It's not as if we're just sitting around watching. No, we're in a race. Remember, we're running a race. It's not like we're sitting on the sideline waiting. It's patience. Run with patience. Run with endurance. Remember, it's not a sprint. It's an endurance race. We run them races. When we used to play football, we used to go out there and they'd make us run laps and laps and laps, it seemed like. I'd be like, we want to go over there and run plays. We want to go over here and run some offensive plays. We want to go over and hit somebody and play some defense. And the coach would be like, we got to go over here and run. Let's go over here and run a mile and a half. Let's go over here and run that hill. You go run that hill. You know, but you know why he wanted us to run that hill? You know why he wanted us to run that mile and a half, at 2 miles? Because, listen, he wanted us to build up our endurance, because he knew that somewhere later on down that year, in the middle of a game, listen, there's going to be somebody on the other side of that on the other side of that line of scrimmage, and I need to knock his head off. But if I'm tired and I got a cramp and I'm laying on the ground, I can't do it. He wants me to build up my endurance. He wants me to build up my strength. He said, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. It's going to take... listen, we can consider our heroes in the past. We can consider our hindrances, those sins and those weights. And let me say this, we need to consider him. We need to consider him. Amen. I'm talking about if we're going to keep running, if we ain't going to quit, if we're going to be like Walter Payton and get up every 4.6 yards and keep on running so we run 9 miles. Are y'all all right?
Yep.
Consider him. Man, it's good to consider those old saints in the past. It's good. Hey, listen, it's good. Hey, it's good to think about Moses and Joshua and all those. It's good to consider myself and sin and all those things that hindered me. But man, when you get your eyes on him, it's just something about looking at him. I'm talking about that one John Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sin of the world.
Amen.
It's just something about getting your eyes on him. Watch verse 3. He said, consider him. We ought to stop right there and just consider him a little bit. Who's the him? He's talking about Jesus. The same Jesus in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The idea of looking unto him is to consider attentively. Adjust our focus. Can I say every once in a while, in this race, we've got to adjust our focus. Because see, as I run this race, the goal never changes. The finish line's the same. The prize is the same. But I'm running. I'm going through the course. So every once in a while, I got to adjust my focus on the go. I got to make sure I'm looking at him. Because I'm going to just be honest with you. You drive down the road, you'll illustrate this. You go down the road, and you, if you ain't careful, you'll be over here and you'll be watching. You'll be watching some over in our yard, looking over that. Look at that dude over on that track. If you ain't careful, you'll veer off. They told me when I was in driver ed, whichever way you look is which way you drive. That's what they told me. And they're right. Unless you're very disciplined, they're right. My wife and I were sitting in a traffic light the other day, and I was picking. I said, you see, it was a little old lady. I don't know how she's even still driving. I said, I ought to make her day and look at her and wink at her. But you know what? I was just kidding, y'all. My wife was there. But you know what? I sit there, as Miss Wendy, as I looked over at her, I watched that little lady. She sat there like this. She didn't look at me. She didn't look at the store over on that side of the road. She didn't look at nobody on that side. If somebody had ran a light, she'd have got hit. She sat there like this. She's looking straight ahead. She had her eyes on the stoplight. She's waiting, and as soon as that thing turned green, she beat us off the line. Blowing them off the line when the light turns green. Hey, I'm talking about she was in my line. She wouldn't look. You know what? That's a good illustration of how we ought to be in this Christian life. We ought to keep our eyes on Jesus. Just looking unto him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto him. You see, if I'm looking unto him, what Brother Robbie does ain't going to bother me. I ain't going to see him. Brother Jerry can be over there making faces at me. I don't see him. Brother Eric can be over there throwing rocks. If they don't hit me, I don't see him. See, I'm looking unto Jesus. I got my eyes fixed on him. Are you with me? And I'm trying to help us as a Christian. As you go through this life, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people that come against you. There's going to be people that make faces at you. There's going to be people that say things about you. There's going to be people that criticize you. There's going to be people that criticize your family. There's going to be people that tear you apart. There's going to be people that don't like the way you dress. There's going to be people that don't like your haircut. There's going to be, hey, listen, I'm just simply saying there's going to be people and they're going to find something wrong. And if you listen to them and you look at them, you're going to get discouraged. And if you're watching them, you're going to be over there where they are trying to defend yourself. You're going to get off track. You're not going to be running your race.
Right.
God help us. We got a race to run. Remember, it's a particular race. It's a personal race. It's my race. I've got a race to run. If Brother Eric's over there picking on me, and I leave my track, I leave my course, and I go over here, and I get in a tussle with Brother Eric, and we're sitting over here tussling, I'm not in my course.
Right.
Are you listening to me? I'm not doing what God wants me to do. So what do I got to do? I got to keep my eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Hey, looking attentively, keeping my focus on Him. Consider Him. Well, who is He? Let's consider Him tonight. Christ, He's our great example. He's our great enabler. He has endured. He has finished. Consider His strife. He said in verse 3, consider Him, watch this, that endured such contradiction of sinners. Such contradiction of sinners. He's endured contradiction. That word contradiction has the idea of strife. Someone who's come against Him. Hey, listen, and He said He has endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. And He says this, if we'll consider Him who has endured this contradiction against Himself, He said, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. God, help us not to be weary and faint in our mind. Can I say, when you quit, listen, you can get tired in body. Listen, you can get tired in body and want to sit down. But when you get tired in your mind and you want to quit, you're done. Are you listening? There's a difference in your body getting tired and your body giving out and your mind getting tired and your mind quitting. I mean, you go back to that illustration of Walter Payton. I'm sure his body got tired, beat up, and bruised, but in his mind, he was going to get up and run.
Right.
You're going to get up. Think about a Marine, man. Man, they don't quit, man. They go out there. Hey, it's Semper Fi, man. It's Semper Fi. Blow their arm off. They'll get up. If they can get up, and they'll say, Semper Fi. I've read stories. I've looked in books. I've read things about those Marines, man, and that attitude, man. They're not going to let go. They're not going to quit. Because they're made mentally tough. I'm not a quitter. I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping.
Amen.
Consider Him. He endured. Consider His strife, the contradiction that He faced. What kind of contradiction did He face? Well, He was crucified. He was spat upon. He was lied about. He was betrayed. Betrayed with a kiss from a man he called his friend. Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. I'm talking about a man who endured contradiction. You listen, you can endure. Well, preacher, you just don't know what they said about me. Keep going. Keep running. Keep looking to Him. Enduring his strife. Listen, he plucked his beard out, spat in his face, beat him.
Thank you, Lord.
Tore the hide off of his back. Probably had his organs hanging out of his rib cage, hanging on the cross. I wasn't there, but I'm just going off what scholars have told us about those beatings. Endured the cross. That's what he said. He said he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Are you listening? What was the cross? Man, the cross was a fixture of death. I know in our society, people, they'll wear a cross. They'll have a cross tattooed on them like it's some kind of Christian symbol or something. Oh, I got a tattoo and it's a cross. I got a necklace or earring or whatever. A cross was a symbol of death. In Jesus' day, when a man took a cross, when he was sentenced and he was given a cross, he took that cross, he'd been walking out of town. That cross meant he wasn't coming back. That cross meant he was going to die. The Bible said he endured the cross. He endured the shame that came along. He endured the cross despising the shame, is what the Bible says. I can't think of any greater shame than would be to hang on a cross. To think that not only did he die, not only did he suffer the beatings, but they stripped him of his clothing. They stripped him of his robe.
They hung him on a cross for the world to see, for people to laugh at and mock. They railed at him. He said, "He's the King of Jews. Let him save himself and us." I'm talking about shame. And the Bible said he endured the cross and he despised the shame. You know why? Let's consider his source. His source of strength. What is his source of strength, preacher? He said he endured the cross and despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God. Why? If you look at the first part of that verse, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. You say, preacher, what's the joy that was set before him? I'll just give you a little bit of speculation. The joy that was set before him would ultimately mean the completion of the Father's will. For him to be able to carry out the Father's plan. And to hear his Father say, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." For him to carry out the plan and him to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can I say to you, in a real strict way and in a real pointed way, the joy that set before him included the conversion of fallen men? Shall we say, preacher? I'm saying when Jesus went to that cross, when he endured that cross and despised that shame, one of the things that kept him going, not only was it hearing the Father say, "Well done," but it was hearing sinners say, "Forgive me, save me." And to know that in order to carry out salvation's, redemption's plan, in order for it to be complete, he must endure the cross and despise the shame. And I'm saying to you that, listen, what kept him going? Listen, what kept him going will be what keep you going, amen? What kept him going, hey, all the way through the cross till it was done, hey, was to know that there would be sinners that would get saved, sinners that would come to repentance, sinners that would be made new. And I'm telling you, listen, sometimes in this Christian life, you can't do it just for your own sake. You'd get tired, you'd quit. Hey, but when you think there's sinners watching you, there's people out there that are lost, and they're dependent on you to be faithful, and they're watching you. And if you quit, hey, listen, they might never get saved. Listen, just be real. What if this preacher standing right here in front of me, what if I just said, "Hey, it's not worth it. I'm throwing in the white flag and I quit"? Some of you adults, y'all get over it, but there's so many kids that would say, "Man, I can't believe that. If he quit, I don't know about that." Just be honest with you tonight. He endured the cross and despised saying, why? For the joy that was set before him. There's joy. There's a source of strength. It's the joy that's set before him. I believe Jesus looked beyond the cross. He saw my need. I believe that. I believe he looked out yonder in the times. In times to come, and he saw. Listen, on the other side of Calvary, he saw there was going to be, hey, some men, some women, some boys and girls over here at Walnut Cove, North Carolina, that needed Jesus, needed to be saved. I believe he's looking out past all the way to the time of his coming. He's seeing those that would come to him by faith. Those who are true. I see, listen, we can consider his strife. We can consider his source of strength. And tonight, let's consider his seat. Where's he at? He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Where's he at now? He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished his course. He ran his race. He's a great example, but he's also a great enabler. He's the right hand of the throne of God speaks of power, speaks of authority. What if he'd have quit? What if he'd have quit tonight? What if he'd have got halfway up Calvary and said, "I ain't doing this"? Where would he be tonight? We'll never know, because that was not a possibility, man. I'm telling you, he fulfilled the Father's will. Thank God. But he's at the right Father's right hand. You know why? Because that was the finishing place. That's where he went. Father's right hand, the throne of God. Here we are tonight. We see his seat. It's a place of majesty. It's a place of authority. There was a reward. He had a reward waiting on him. He had something waiting. He had a place where he was headed. He knew where he was headed. The Father's right hand. He left the Father to come to this earth. He humbled himself, become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He left the Father in the glories of heaven humbled himself, come to this earth, become a man, died in human flesh so that he could conquer death, hell, and the grave, so that he could ascend back into heaven. And he sits there tonight interceding for you and I at the Father's right hand. He knew there was a place he was headed. Can I say to you tonight, there's a reward waiting for you, child of God. In 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul said it like this as he was approaching the end of his life. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. In verse number 8, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Child of God, there's a reward waiting for you. There's a crown of righteousness if you'll just keep running. We're not talking about your salvation. We're talking about rewards for the child of God. There's a reward for you. There's a crown. So let me encourage you tonight. Keep running on. When life gets tough, keep running on. When persecution comes, keep running on. When opposition and resistance comes, keep running on. When you get your feelings hurt, keep running on. When they laugh at you, call you Holy Joe, Holy Roller, Goody Goody, hey, keep running on. When it's going good, keep running on. When you get knocked down every 4.6 yards, get up and keep running on. I encourage you tonight, you can do it. You can do it. There's a crowd of witnesses. There's a cloud of witnesses. And they're saying, hey, it works. They're saying not only that, but they're saying it's worth it. And Jesus is saying, you can do it. Jesus is saying, hey, you can do it. You can do it. Keep running on. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the message. I pray you'd encourage your people. I pray you challenges, changes, charges. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. We're standing all across the auditorium.